T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we welcome you in on a Friday evening to the John Chuckery Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming to you once again from parts unknown. Hanging out with you for the full four tonight. Well, we got a busy, jam-packed, going to be a lot of fun show. Very much been looking forward to tonight with all the things that we've got going on out there. So we will be joined by the wonderful Sophia Choi. She will join us at 8:20 tonight to give us all the latest about what is going on around Atlanta as we try to keep you informed about all the happenings and things happening around your communities here in the city and beyond. And most importantly, coming up at 7:40 tonight, as this new book is set to drop coming up on, I believe it's Tuesday, the 31st, and I've actually pre-ordered the audiobook. You know, if you ever listen to his podcast, and we're going to be talking to the great Jim Ross, the voice of professional wrestling, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be when it comes to calling wrestling. He will join us at 7:40. We will also play that interview again coming up at 9:40. But if you get the chance, you definitely want to check out his new book, Under the Black Hat. You can pre-order it on Amazon. It does come out the next Tuesday. And I pre-ordered the audiobook for it. And if you listen to his podcast at all, Jim has talked about how emotional the book was. This new book, you know, he wrote a book, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, I think 2 years ago, that Slobberknocker came out, which was kind of the early part of his wrestling career, kind of up to his early time in the WWF. This will cover, I believe, from the Attitude Era, maybe the most talked about time in the history of wrestling, through his wife, who I think earlier this week was the anniversary of her death in a car crash. I think it's been 3 years that she has been gone. And then, you know, getting loaded into AEW, becoming a part of all of that. So, and he's talked about how emotional this whole process was, and especially how tough it was to do the audiobook because of the emotion. And then at the same time, how much fun he kind of had. Kind of getting into some character voices and different things like that. So I'm very much looking forward to getting the audiobook version of this. So we will talk to him at 7:40 and then replay that again coming up at 9:40 for you. So lots of other things to get into as well as the week is wrapping up. Don't forget the radio.com app to download that to always catch us on the go, whatever device that you may have. Follow us on all our social media platforms. That is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Give me a follow on Twitter. You can find me at JMCH316. at JMCH316. That is all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show this evening. Behind the glass, it is Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. So we're getting some clarity now a little bit in Major League Baseball, as there's a report out today that says that the Players Union and Major League Baseball have agreed not to start the season until there have been some conditions that have been met. So according to Jeff Passan of ESPN, he says that they are, in the report that he obtained, one is that there are no bans on mass gathering that would limit the ability to play in front of fans. However, the commissioner still could consider the use of appropriate substitute neutral sites where economically feasible. Now, I don't know what that part of it means, but I don't think that there is going to be any mass gathering of people for a while. And if this is a condition to play, I don't think that's a good sign. Also, too, another bullet point is that there are no travel restrictions throughout the United States and Canada. I'm going to tell you again, I don't think it's a good sign that they have to wait for it. I understand why, obviously, because you have teams in Canada that have to be factored in. But I don't know that that's going to get lifted anytime soon. And then finally, too, they say medical experts determined that there would be no health risk for players, staff, or fans, with the commissioner and union still able to revisit the idea of playing in empty stadiums. Well, while I think maybe the health risk for players and things like that may start to diminish as we get into the next maybe weeks to months, but when you read through this initial bullet points, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It doesn't feel like baseball is coming back all that quickly. And you say, well, you know, we talk about, you know, early June and things like that. Man, that will be here before you know it, because you're going to have some spring training. You're going to have to get guys back into shape and conditioning, even with expanded rosters. It's not like you're going to be able to go for a week or two and have pitchers and players and everybody ready after they've had no activity. After basically baseball has shut down all operations, because obviously these guys are not able to get any kind of group setting, any kind of group workout, any kind of live fire to do anything. You know, you can't even go to the gym and go work out with other folks or any sort of gathering. So the idea that some of these conditions have to be met, while I understand, and of course they all make sense, there's nothing radical about them, but the idea that that's coming anytime soon is the part that scares me. Now, there's also been talk that, and we mentioned this last night, and I saw a couple of different people that were talking about this, that baseball would like to get at least 140, if not more like 150 games. I don't know how they're planning on doing that, though. I have no idea how baseball is going to try to fit in that many games. And if they're lucky, like we said, it's probably sometime in June. And we're going to talk a little bit later on tonight in What's Bugging Chuckery. The NHL, whew, I don't know what's going on with those guys. I don't know what those guys are thinking and hoping is going to happen. It's going to be 155 degrees outside, and they want to play hockey. But we'll discuss that a little bit later on out there. They also, too, as part of this deal, have try to come up with a way to modify the 2020 draft as well, potentially to as many as, or I should say, to as low as 5 rounds, move the draft from June to possibly sometime in July, delay the 2020 international signing period, which normally runs from July 2020 through That runs from July 2nd, 2020, through June 15th of 2021 to at least January of next year through December of next year. Says MLB also has the right to shorten the draft to as few as 20 rounds total and push back that next international signing period as well. And I think one of the things that we have to think about, too, is while it sounds great to maybe say baseball playing later and getting into, you know, November and things like that, you know, how much does that crunch the idea of any offseason for Major League Baseball, hot stove and things like that, before you have to turn right back around and start playing again. I don't know how feasible that that all is out there. So they also say in the report that teams will be unable to trade draft picks or international slot money. Guaranteed free agents come November, regardless of the season status. So when you're talking about Mookie Betts, Trevor Bauer, JT Realmuto, among others, that those guys will be able to still become free agents. Says the agreement also calls for a transaction freeze, which bars teams from signing free agents, trading players, and making roster moves. And there'll be a change in arbitration as far as awarding service times and things like that. It says, well, arbitration is a numbers and precedence-based system. Typically, the sides will change that to acknowledge the shorter schedule. And they say any players punished with a drug suspension will serve the penalty in 2020, even if there is no season. So while some of this sounds good and it's just, you know, a lot of gobbledygook as far as, you know, we're concerned, I mean, with all due respect, nobody cares about the MLB draft except the players that are involved in the MLB draft and the people that are actually doing the drafting, you know, out there. But still, the idea of some of these conditions having to be met before baseball is ready to resume, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much hope there is for starting anything anytime soon. But that's, you know, the reality of where we live in right now. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, it took multiple weeks of negotiations between both sides to just kind of come up with all these things that we already knew. You know, I mean, to have to come up with a negotiation that says, well, you know, they have to not have travel restrictions between Canada and the U.S. Well, duh, thanks. I mean, I think we already kind of knew that. That had to be part of the deal, obviously, unless you're going to have the Canadian teams try to, you know, move down to America. Of course, you know that baseball has talked about that, about, you know, trying to take Tampa and, you know, play half their games in Montreal and things. I mean, but I don't know. It's not the most encouraging news. I don't know, you know, if this affects other leagues or, you know, if the NBA is looking at this because, you know, the NHL, for instance, still has not canceled the rest of the regular season. And my understanding is that the NHL regular season ends on April 4th. Now, do the math, look at the calendar, and by my calendar, it says today's the 27th, right? So how much more delay does there need to be for the NHL to say, okay, there's not going to be any more regular season? Or at least the scheduled games are not going to happen at their appropriate time. So this is one of those funky periods that we just kind of wonder about. When are we going to start to see some activity from the sports scene coming back together? But I will tell you that based upon what I'm reading from this report that supposedly that's two sides have agreed on, I just don't think that we're going to see baseball that quickly. And I don't think we're going to see you know, nearly as much of a regular season. But, I mean, that still has to be negotiated. I mean, they have not talked about how many games, expanded playoff. By the way, that's another thing, too, that Major League Baseball is talking about, expanding the playoffs. Like, it doesn't seem very smart that this would be a year that you'd want to try to go in and expand the playoff structure for Major League Baseball. But, once again, as we said, none of this is about fans. This is not about you and me and what we want to see. This is about how much money that they can still make and still pull in and how much guys can still get paid. And I understand that. I mean, it's their livelihood, it's their living and things like that. But, you know, it's not going to be about what the fans want or what makes sense or things like that. It's going to be about what they want to do from the business end and from the business aspect of everything. All right, as we said, lots to get into. Jim Ross going to join us, Sophia Choi going to join us. It's going to be a busy night on the show, but when we get back, Kirk Herbstreit is saying that he does not expect football to be played this year, both for college and in the NFL. Is he being like Hot Take Tommy, or is there actually some truth to what he's saying out there? We'll discuss all of that next. It is the John Chuckery Show, coming to you live here on a Friday night, hanging out with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show, coming to you on a Friday night. Also, don't forget to download the radio.com app. That way you catch us live and on the go. Put that on whatever device that you own, your smart device, your smart speakers, your boombox, turntable, CD player, Walkman, whatever you got for a device out there that we catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, which is open and up and running if you want to be a part of the show. So ESPN college football, college game day analyst was on ESPN radio late on Thursday and talked about how he's very unoptimistic about football being played this year, saying, quote, "I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall. If we have college football, I'll be so surprised if that happens." He says, just because from what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. Kirk went on to say that if he was the NFL commissioner in charge of the NCAA, he would just shut it down ASAP. Next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that. As much as I hate to say it, I think we're scratching the surface of where this thing's going to go. Now, he also talks about how people don't realize how much prep and things like that you need. He says you don't all of a sudden come up with something in July and August and say, okay, we're good to go, and turn them loose. Now, we do know that the NFL has said that they are going full steam ahead with the draft. Now, that's a whole different animal because you don't have to have anybody involved in it. I'm very skeptical of the idea, though, that there won't be a football season, and for a few reasons. Let's start on the college end, okay? When you're talking about the amount of money that goes into athletic programs, and to be honest with you, that sustains the ability to survive with an athletic program. You know, it's one thing to miss out on the basketball tournament, you know, if you're Vanderbilt or Georgia or whatever like that. It's a whole nother thing for $40 or $50 million to not be rolling through your coffers because of what football means and all the surrounding things, you know, to it. And look, it's great to talk about, you know, how much money is brought in by alcohol sales, $1 million here, whatever like that, fan tickets and different things like that. But this is all about CBS, the SEC Network, ESPN, and all the TV contracts. That's where the real money comes in. And I believe, much like the NFL would do the same thing, okay, I believe that they will absolutely play in front of no fans before they won't play at all. And I get the atmosphere of a college stadium, you know, whatever, 80, 90,000 in Sanford Stadium, loud, rocking, you know, on a Saturday night and this, that, and the other. But the amount of revenue that these programs would lose, you know, there would be athletic programs that would have a hard time even surviving even one season of not having that kind of money come in. Now, I don't know about insurance and all these types of things that we've heard about the NCAA basketball tournament and, you know, what happens with all of that. But I can't imagine that there is a big safety net in place to soak up the revenue that wouldn't be lost from not having a football season. Now, reality is that we've still got some time before all of this gets cranked up. It wouldn't be impossible, to be honest with you, push the college football season back a couple of weeks or something like that if you needed to. And you could certainly push back some of the bowl games and things like that. You could condense the schedule for the bowl games. I think there are ways to work it out. I don't know if the football fandom of America is ready to have that sport shut down. I would bet you that if you took a poll of fans and said, hey, would you be okay not being able to attend any college or pro football games, but still watch NFL football and college football on TV? I bet you the majority of people would still say, yeah, give me football, even if it's just on TV and there's no possibility of going to games. Because I do think Herb Street is right from the sense of you are not going to have fans anytime soon. And I don't know when that could be. Maybe the end of the year, maybe next year, I do believe that we're going to go through a long stretch of you're not going to have a gathering of people. And to be honest with you, I don't know how people will even feel safe or secure or want to get together in large groups within the next few months. You know, I don't think it's even a matter of turning on a switch for just the sports. I think that even applies to fans and things. And we'll talk a little bit more about that at 8 o'clock. But the idea of all of a sudden fans are going to go from, hey, we have to social distance to let's get 80,000 people together, I don't think that's a realistic option either. But I don't think the average fan is ready to see no football happen. Now, maybe if college football dropped a game or two, like I said, there are ways that it could do it. Now, the NFL, when you're talking about the amount of revenue that TV generates, okay, and despite what some people will say, you know, they love to throw out the, well, you know, the fans pay their salaries. No, they don't. They don't. It's all about TV money, man. It's all about how much CBS and NBC, ESPN, whatever properties, Fox, okay? That's where all the money comes from. And that's true a lot in baseball as well. You know, the TV deal for the Los Angeles Dodgers is so good that, that this is their local TV deal as well, is so good that they literally could play in front of no fans every night and still make money, even with their payroll and everything else that goes along with it. So I don't think that Commissioner Goodell, the Power Five conferences, I think they are going to hold out to the bitter end. I really can't imagine the idea of not having football. And we've not, listen, that we've got a ways to go yet. You know, you could theoretically start all of that as you get past Labor Day, which is when the NFL is going to start anyway. So, you know, it wouldn't be impossible to try to go in and push the season back even a few weeks. Now, how that affects the Super Bowl, your playoff games in college football, I don't know. There would have to be a lot to be worked out. I don't know if there would be an agreement to maybe play a couple of less games. Now, the NFL was talking about expanding their regular season, expanding their playoffs and things like that. To me, the idea of expanding anything right now, that is unfeasible in all sports. So I think you have to be realistic, though, about the idea of, okay, maybe you have a couple of less weeks or whatever of the football season. And listen, let's remember, the NFL owners have shown in the past, they were willing to put scab players, for lack of a better term, on the field, on TV, in front of little audiences at times, for the sake of having an NFL product on the field. Now, you can say that's different. That was a player strike and this, that, and the other. They wanted to show the players. Yeah, but at the same time, the owners are not going to give up the kind of money that you're talking about. You know, the Jerry Joneses and the Robert Kraft's, they are going to fight kicking and screaming all the way. And now we're also seeing that in the NBA, if you saw the latest about Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, all of them, you know, supposedly everybody is kind of fine. They're kind of getting back to normal. So, you know, it's been a few weeks. You know, and those guys were diagnosed. I think if it means that they even have to spend a lot more money on testing and things like that, because, look, we know that, and this is not going to be a popular opinion either, but these sports leagues have access to things that you and I don't have access to. And they'll get ways to have these tests and things like that, even if that means that there are private companies and stuff like that that get involved. But I think sitting here at the end of March and proclaiming about the idea of not having football at all, I think is probably a little bit knee-jerk. I don't think it's an impossibility that we couldn't have some reductions in football, but I think the idea of football being canceled that goes all the way into the end of the year, I don't think that's realistic. And I think the financial burden, especially for college athletic programs, you know, and certainly, you know, for lack of a better word, the greed of the owners in the NFL, I don't think they'll let that happen. And imagine the networks not having football for programming. You know, every year the highest rated TV show is that NBC Sunday night game, right? And networks build their whole fall schedule around the idea of having NFL football and college football and things like that. The idea of them not having that kind of programming, because let's face it, outside of ESPN, you don't have a lot of, you know, regular programming for baseball. You know, even on Fox and things like that, you're talking about a Saturday product. But with football, you're talking about it's a Monday product, it's a Thursday product, it's a Sunday product. You know, in college, it's Tuesday, it's Thursday, it's Friday, it's Saturday. I mean, almost every single night of the week has either college or pro football that is featured on some network. I just don't imagine how they're going to go without the revenue and how owners in the NFL and collegiate athletic programs will turn all that money down. Like I said, they'll play some kind of condensed, smaller size, scaled down schedule, I believe, before they'll give up on football. Now, fortunately, we've got a little ways to go before that decision has to be made. There's no reason to make a knee-jerk reaction. But you saw the decision to have the draft was voted unanimously. There wasn't one single person in that voting group, whatever that group was and whoever that group was, that said no to having the draft. That should give you a sign. The NFL has done zero to postpone anything as of right now. And yeah, I understand, it's not on the field activity. But still, it would be very easy to push some of these things back and not have that. But I think they understand the importance of getting some of these things moving. Even though teams may not have as much information and things like that that they would like for the draft, they're going to have the draft. You've had your tape. You've had the combine. There's been a few little private workouts here and there. Make a decision. And that's what it's going to be. Who knows? Maybe there isn't much of a preseason or it gets shortened by a game or two. I think there are just a lot of ways to handle this without having to go in and cancel the season. All right, when we get back, we will talk to the greatest wrestling announcer of all time. Jim Ross is set to join us as we talk about his new book that's going to be hitting on the 31st, Under the Black Hat. He will join us on the show next. It is John Chuckery coming to you live here on a Friday night, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show. Hanging with you here on a Friday night. Well, listen, I am very excited for what we're about to do here. So coming up on Tuesday, and you can pre-order this on Amazon. I have actually already ordered the audiobook for it on Amazon. But debuting on Tuesday, the 31st, the latest and newest book from Jim Ross, the follow-up to his great, I guess, New York Times best-selling book, Slobberknocker. His newest book, Under the Black Hat, is going to be debuting. And listen, by all accounts, this is going to be one of the best wrestling books of all time. So I'm very excited to hear the audiobook version of everything. Jarvis, do we have him on the line yet? Okay, so we're efforting to get JR on the line here in just a second. But very much excited to get my hands on this book, because this book will, from my understanding, will basically get you toward the from the Attitude Era, take you through all of that, you know, the end run for him in WWE, which, you know, his contract was just finalized, I want to say about a year and a half ago, maybe, or maybe a couple of WrestleManias ago. And, of course, his time now signing into AEW, the death of his wife, lots of emotion and lots of things, you know, in what is probably his most recognized and well-known run that he had as a wrestling broadcaster. And a lot of folks will remember that he was a radio host on WSB. He had a radio show on WSB. You know, we're going to talk to Sophia Choi coming up at the 8:20, but he actually had a radio show on WSB for a while back. I'm going to say, oh, early 90s, 93, 94, somewhere around there, that he used to host a show, even back before he was with the WWE. back when he was still a broadcaster for WCW and doing things for him. And, I mean, it's hard to imagine. This guy has been around since the mid-70s doing wrestling, back in the old territory days and things like that. So the book should be fascinating. There's a lot of going to be a lot of great information. So the gentleman that you can catch every Wednesday on TNT on AEW Dynamite, he's got his new book for pre-order on Amazon, Under the Black Hat. His website is jrsbbq.com, where you can get all of his sauces and all his great stuff, and I believe you can still get autographed copies of his book there. He's on Twitter at jrsbbq. Is a great follow there. And I will tell you, it's one of two podcasts that are must-listen to every week. It's on the Westwood One Radio Podcast Network. It's Grillin' JR. We are joined on the waitfor.com hotline by the one, the only, the best there is, the best there was, the best will ever be, will be, Jim Ross. Jim, thanks for jumping on, man. Oh, sorry. I thought we had him all on there. Sorry, Jarvis. Sorry. Remember, it's a little tough for us to communicate at times with what we got going on out here. So, Jarvis, we'll also take him into the 8 o'clock hour too, with it. So, we got a couple minutes yet before JR joins us here. So, these are all things that when you're working without a net, folks, that you have to try to coordinate and set up and everything. So, and I will tell you honestly, I will probably fanboy a little bit. I think it's amazing, you know, when you think about that era of the Attitude Era and all the famous calls that Jim Ross has. It seems like every wrestling fan from that era has their favorite Jim Ross call. Probably most famously for a lot of people is the King of the Ring from July of 98, the Hell in a Cell match between Mankind and Undertaker, where Mick Foley gets thrown off the top of the cage and Jim is screaming, you know, my God, he's been broken in half. They killed him. He's broken in half. That famous call that he had, but so many memorable moments, and a lot of ties to Atlanta. I believe that he called the Falcons games at one time here. We talked about that he had a radio show on WSB here locally, where he used to do wrestling, and I want to say it was on, I think it was on like Sunday nights that he had the show on there. But he's got a lot of ties to Atlanta. This was kind of home for him for a very long time, and you know, it's always kind of funny to look back at old Jim Ross when you look at his WCW days, the suit. You know, he didn't always have the glasses, didn't have the cowboy hat. And when you hear the stories about how he, you know, adapted to the cowboy hat and, of course, the glasses and kind of that more casual type of feel that he would have, kind of turning into that good old JR character. It's pretty fascinating when you hear some of this stuff. And every Thursday at 6 a.m., his podcast drops on Westwood One. It's called Grillin' JR. It's a fascinating look at a lot of the things that happened throughout his career. They do a lot of shows. They do a lot of characters and things like that. The one that's that debuted yesterday was talking about WrestleMania 9. So he goes back to his WCW days. He goes back to his older WWF days. And his first match that he ever called, or first broadcast that he ever called on in the WWE, was WrestleMania 9, which was out in Vegas at Caesar's Palace. And he jokes about, you know, kind of some of the things that went on because they made him wear a toga and things like that. That was the first outdoor arena WrestleMania that took place. You had some horrible matches like the Undertaker and El Gigante, who wore that bodysuit, Hogan and Beefcake versus, who was that, IRS and Ted DiBiase, and then Yokozuna and Bret in the main event. So not one of the greater WrestleManias that ever took place, but that was his first broadcast that he had a chance to do when he was in the WWE. So lots of stuff to get into with him, too. And he's got a pretty cool website. From my understanding, I can't say as I've had his sauces and mustards and different things like that, but on his website, you can get all of his product line out there. All right, let's go out to the waitfor.com hotline. Wednesdays on AEW Dynamite. His new book is hitting next Tuesday on Amazon. You can pre-order now. JRSBBQ.com on the Westwood One Network. It's one of my two must-listen-to podcasts every week. Grillin' JR, the WWE Hall of Famer, joins us on the waitfor.com hotline, Jim Ross. Jim, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks for jumping on with me tonight.
You bet, buddy. How you doing?
Man, we are great. We are great. So Man, I've got so much to get into with you. You know, I've got like 40 years with you of appreciating what you've done, and I'm always willing to take my fat shaming for my love of wrestling out there. So let me start by asking you, when somebody talks to you about the city of Atlanta, what kind of comes to mind, and what are some of your most vivid memories about being here in Atlanta?
Oh, it certainly wouldn't be the Gold Club or Fat Matt's Rib Shack or Bones or the Buckhead Diner or broadcasting the first game ever in the old Georgia Dome in 1993. It reminds me of a great era for me. And I love living in Atlanta. I have great times. When I come back, it almost feels like home, but the damn thing has grown so much. And traffic has certainly changed since I left in 1993. But I had nothing but great experiences in Atlanta. The most beautiful women I can remember assembling in one area was Atlanta, Georgia. Nothing beats it.
You know, Jim, Tony Schiavone does some work with us here at the radio station, and I remember talking to him when he took the AEW job, and I said, what was it? I said, you know, you were so anti-wrestling and didn't want to be a part of the business. But he said, when I talked to Tony Khan, I was instantly sold. What was it about AEW that sold you into wanting to be a part of this?
Well, I had the option of staying in WWE if I had chosen to. But the way I was being utilized at that time, and it didn't look as if I was going to get any busier, was not what I was looking for. I may be the stupidest guy in town, but I walked away from a very healthy salary. And in 2018, for example, I worked two times. So I make this ridiculous amount of money. I worked twice to Vince's district man's generosity. But, man, I lost my wife in March of 17. I had all these projects, trying to build a podcast, trying to finish a book, you know, and I didn't want to sit home anymore. I wanted to be busy. I felt, you know, when you get older, man, that mortality thing is real. You start feeling it. And I just felt like I needed to be doing something as opposed to sitting at home, not shaving, not wearing my watch, and trying to drink all the Crown Royal of Norman. Didn't work out that way very well. So I wanted to go back to work. I wanted to get off the bench. I didn't want to sit there with a visor on and carry a clipboard. I wanted to play. And that's what we're doing. Tony gave me that chance to play. I was one of the first people he hired. He told me I was the voice of his childhood, and I felt like that was going to be a good combination for me. And we just talked earlier today. He's a breath of fresh air in this business, I'm telling you. Young guy, smart as hell, has the greatest recall of wrestling history that I've ever been around. And the fact that, you know, the family's done very well, you know, the Jaguars and the Fulham Football Club in England. They're very successful. They're multi-dimensional. They're diversified. So they don't have all their eggs in one wrestling basket. And I kind of like that, too. So I signed a 3-year contract with them based on Tony's excitement and exuberance. And I pushed Tony very hard to hire Tony Schiavone. I said, we need Tony Schiavone in our team. It'll be great to work with him again. He can edit. He can announce. He can do a studio show. There's nothing Tony Schiavone can't do with a microphone in his hand. So, I think that was the reason, you know, just Tony Khan's exuberance, his passion, and his respect to the people that he works with is just overwhelming.
Legendary wrestling announcer Jim Ross is joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. His new book, Under the Black Hat, is going to drop on Tuesday the 31st. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now. I've already ordered the audiobook. Very much looking forward to hearing that. Jim, when you think about professional wrestling history, and I may be a little bit wrong on my timeline, but, I mean, it does, I believe, date back to even World War II as far as the history of it. But it's amazing when you think about the five-and-a-half-year stretch that is called the Attitude Era, and it really isn't a whole lot longer than that. Why is it that that period of time in wrestling is probably more talked about, more glorified, and more revered than any other period of wrestling history?
Yeah, I agree with that, simply because the television numbers on Monday night. The Monday Night Wars pitting WWE and WCW was a major television event. I would challenge you to think that, well, not you necessarily, but people in general, if the topic wasn't pro wrestling, the amazing performance of two TV shows on the same night, head-to-head, sharing an audience, proved so many things. But nobody's going to give credit to the television success of that era that made it the most talked about and most memorable because, basically, of the pro wrestling bias. You know, we understand what we are. And today, more than ever, we understand what we are as an entity. But some people still have an issue with what we already know. We've admitted that it's a showbiz, and they're play fighting, but they do their own stunts, and it's very physical. It's not powder puff. It's not fluffy stuff. So I know what we do. But I think some of our critics have been long-standing against what we do because it's beneath them. And I've always thought that to be somewhat ridiculous.
Jim, this book obviously continues the story from Slobber Knocker. And I've heard you talk. I'm a regular podcast listener, so I listen every single week and have listened to you kind of talk about the emotion that this book has brought out of you with all the different range of subjects, from the Attitude Era to the death of your wife to going into AEW. Do you think going into this project you were ready emotionally for all the stories that you were willing to tell, or were you kind of even surprised at how much emotion this book brought out of you?
Well, you kind of got to get ready. Once you make a commitment to write a book, and I changed publishers. I went with Simon & Schuster on this one, and they have a new imprint called Pillar Press. But my contract's with Simon & Schuster. So that's the difference in night and day. And all due respect to my friends in the XFL, it's like comparing the XFL to the NFL. It's the same basic game, but it's really not. And so Simon & Schuster separates himself from a lot of publishing houses. So I knew they had high expectations. The book in the last couple of weeks has been number one and number two of advance orders on Amazon. So this is getting more. It's doing what we want it to do. And I was very on an emotional roller coaster at that time because a lot of this book is about my wife, my late wife, and how but the role she played behind the scenes in the crazy ass world of pro wrestling. And not just about her, but how she affected other people, and then my journey, and how she stood beside me with three bouts of Bell's palsy, you know, intensive care, my colon surgery, all this crazy stuff. It's bad hands you get dealt, man. I'm not the only guy that's ever been dealt a bad hand. I get that. And this, my book is not a poor me book. It's a hell of a story. It's an amazing ride that a lot of people can identify with because they took it with me. Or they're aware of it. It's not a foreign topic. So I'm excited about where it's going to be next week and how it's going to be out there. As a matter of fact, I got a little website. Everybody's got a website, right? The kids probably got a website. My granddaughter's got iPads and iPhones and everything. And they're kids. They're little kids. Don't get it. But nonetheless, it's a little topic. But I got a website, jrsbbq.com. JRSBBQ.com. On that website, I have an offer for my hardcover book under the Black Hat that gets you free shipping, free personalized autograph, free customized bookmark, blah, 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 and you get that on my site. Along with, you go with barbecue sauces and chipotle ketchup, jalapeno honey mustard, our great seasoning, things like that there too. So I'm dabbling in a lot of things. I make sure I'm busy. And of course, this virus has got me off the road this past week, but you know, we're going to play that by ear. I'm that high risk category, you know. I don't mind admitting it now. I'm in the high risk category at 68, and I damn sure don't want to get sick. I got too much to do, man.
The voice of wrestling, Jim Ross, joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As you got into this book, was there any topics that you found yourself were too hard to get into? Was there anything that you kept off the table in this book?
I just want to make sure that my documentation and my thoughts, my opinion on my relationship with Vince was accurately portrayed, and that I went back and read it several times over, and I did the audio book as well. I want to make sure it wasn't like a hatchet job or just sensationalistic BS. I wasn't interested in that. So it's worked out well in that respect, that the book has done well because I've been honest. It was very hard to write about the last days of my life. You know, we've been together about 28 years, married 25. She was a lot of my life. I finally got it right in the marriage world. Very good. My dad told me one time when I was about 25, he said, son, damn if I don't think you're not the marrying kind after about two divorces. So he was right. I was immature, self-centered, and I wanted to be about me. I was a workaholic. In the end, the workaholic thing worked out pretty good because I became successful. But how successful really was I? If I hadn't found my wife, and she had stood beside me in this crazy world of what I do for a living, I would have been divorced number three. She was the best, man. I'm just telling you, she was the best. And I was so lucky to have her in my life. So that's kind of what the book has got, a lot of stories. It's got a lot of a unique themes. It's written chronologically, and it takes us right up until I leave WWE and go to work for AEW.
Jim, last thing for you. I never miss your podcast. I never miss Bruce's podcast. And I think what's fascinated wrestling fans like myself is the fact that this feels like for the first time in our lives, we get a kind of look behind the scenes at who Vince McMahon is. You know, we just kind of know the mythical figure about Vince McMahon and his place in the history of wrestling. Do you think that with these types of podcasts that you do and Bruce and even Jim Cornette and guys like that, that this will be the closest thing to really getting a snapshot of who Vince McMahon really is?
Oh, absolutely. Because I have a different relationship than any of those guys that have podcasts. Not better, not worse, not anything, but different. It was unique to Vince and me. And I was this right-hand guy for a long, long time, so we had the opportunity to have a lot of one-on-ones, spend a lot of time together. I learned a great deal from him. You know, he had confidence in me to rebuild a talent roster. And if you go back and look at that talent roster, I think that our talent relations staff at that time did an amazing job in helping scout and recruiting and spreading the word and getting out there and working the ground, put leather on the ground, man. And I love that whole existence there, that part. I said the other day to somebody in an interview, I said, you know, I'm probably best known for my announcing work all the way from the TBS studios on Technical Drive to, the big time, so to speak. I think my best work has come in signing talent. You know, we have one signing class that the Georgia Bulldogs will be happy to have because it's a top 10 class, maybe top five. Brock Lesnar, John Cena, Randy Orton, Dave Bautista, and Shelton Benjamin. And I mention Shelton all the time because he was in that class. He came down with Brock, and he was the best athlete of the whole group. Still is today, by the way. But that was a great run for me. And I to help give guys a chance to play on the team and make the team and become a star and then become financially independent to better take care of their families is one of the greatest things I could have ever done in pro wrestling, and I'm very proud of those accomplishments.
You can catch him every Wednesday on TNT on AEW Dynamite. His new book hits on Tuesday. Pre-ordered on Amazon. It is Under the Black Hat. You can get autographed copies of the book at jrsbbq.com. Every Thursday on the Westwood One Podcast Network, it is Grilling JR. And he's on Twitter at jrsbbq. Hell, he's got T-shirts and everything else that he sells, man. He's got everything going on. For a guy who wants to be busy, he's got plenty of it. And Jim Ross joined us here, the WWE Hall of Famer on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jim, I can't even begin to thank you enough for being part of the show. And I will tell you, as a 40-plus year wrestling fan, thank you for all the wonderful memories. Thank you for being such a integral part of my both childhood, later years, and all the entertainment that you brought me over the years.
I appreciate that very much. You never get too old or too big in the game to hear nice remarks like that. And to tell you, I sincerely appreciate it from my heart. It means more now than it did when I was younger. I'll be honest about it. Because then we're all bulletproof. But we're not bulletproof. I'm not bulletproof. And nobody's out there is bulletproof in this damn virus. Be smart, folks. Be smart. Don't try to outthink it. Don't overthink it. Be smart. And let's all live to see better days. And I appreciate you being on. And if you don't have a copy of my book, make sure I know and I'll send you one.
Hey, I've already pre-ordered the audiobook, man. I've heard nothing but great things about it, and I want to hear all those impressions.
All right. Well, good. Yeah, it's a little different read than I've done in the past. It's not a traditional audiobook read, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, buddy. You bet, man.
You got it. John Chuckery will be back. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.